Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
tsunami or, thank God, radiation, but it's still very relative to the United States, American history, World War II. Our program today has some interesting connections, and they're all related. But we'll go with our usual birthdays. We'll start off on a cheery note and go to birthdays, deaths, and events, which are all relevant to what's going on today. Today in classical music, here's Telemann. He was born today. Famous American painter Thomas Hart Benton was born today. Then the guy who invented or who built cast iron buildings. I think there was one in Chicago, as I recall, and the Flatiron Building, I think, in New York. His name was James Borgatus. And then Johann Strauss Sr. was born today, and he wrote the Rokoki March, which was the unofficial anthem of Hungarian anthem. Then the first woman dentist in 1866, Lucy Hobbs Taylor, she became the first woman dentist. It was a breakthrough for women. And then also in the 1861, his birthday, Paul Ehrlich, not the guy who was just a political, controversial futurist or whatever, but the famous German Jewish scientist who was a bacteriologist. He developed, he caught tuberculosis, and he worked with another famous German scientist in Egypt, but he developed a treatment for sleeping sickness, diphtheria, and most importantly, for syphilis. Syphilis had been plaguing humankind for centuries, and they used to use, I think, mercury and some other horrible diseases, cures or palliatives for it. But he developed a thing called salvarsan, and this was before World War I. And also, there's this criticism about that at the time people were, quote, puritanical, didn't talk about sexuality, even though they practiced it in the dark. This was the treatment before penicillin was invented or discovered by Sir Alexander Fleming in the 40s. And There was some horrible treatment of blacks at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, which was founded by George Washington Carver, the great, probably the greatest of the black American scientists, and also was the guy about that time who invented Dr. Drew, from Chicago, who invented blood plasma. So we'll get into that another day, but it's important, and we'd like to bring up these medical accomplishments and breakthroughs because it's all relevant to the healthcare issue today. Incidentally, BBC reported that in Germany, and it's a conflict Hippocratic oath, that some German doctors are dealing with, quote, what may be hypochondria by prescribing placebos. And person gets well, then they know it worked and didn't have the problem again. It was all in your mind. But they're not supposed to treat and it's supposed to inform the patient how the proposed treatment and the actual treatment. So there's maybe an issue there, but we are going to see, because of the high cost of medicine and drugs, excuse me, you'll probably see more of that if we're not seeing it now here in the States. Also today, Albert Einstein, Gunter physicist, another German Jewish scientist, who sent a letter to President Roosevelt that warning that the Nazis were trying to develop an atomic bomb. And him and Enrico Fermi, who was an Italian scientist, worked at Stagg Field at the University of Chicago when Chancellor there, Robert Maynard Hutchins, kicked out football. In other words, it was a great football team at one time, and they had the first atomic chain reaction under the stands there. And Enrico Fermi was Italian of Jewish heritage. I prefer to use that term because we don't know if these people practice or are they cultural Jews. And then today is also the birthday of Thomas Riley Marshall. Now, he was vice president under Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson didn't use Thomas, but that was his birth name. And he was from Indiana, and he was one of the last of the state of Indiana, last politicians to be elected. There was Wendell Willkie, who was also from Indiana, but they called him the Barefoot Boy from Wall Street. He ran for president in 1940 against FDR, and he lost. But Thomas Riley Marshall is remembered for this statement: "What this country needs is a good 5-cent cigar." Now, later on, when we had John Nance Garner, who was FDR's first vice president, he made the comment that the vice presidency wasn't worth a bucket of warm spit. We had another event today. Well, we'll get to the events, although it's related. The income tax came in with and the Federal Reserve, all these controversial enactments by Woodrow Wilson, his administration. Warren G. Harding, now the G stands for Gamaliel, and that was a name invented by his mother because she wanted something that sounded biblical, and there's no reference in the Bible as far as I know, and other people couldn't find it. So she cooked that up. She invented that for her son Warren. Now, there's a lot of this hype about Obama being the first black president. The reputable historians dispute this. That Warren G. Harding was accused of having Negro blood. I'm quoting the press at the time, and it was very intense. These criticisms and questions, and so he finally said, "I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence." And this often happened. In fact, in our American racial relations, there was a term, "high yeller," and that was a person of African heritage, or ethnicity, who had white blood, or who was a product of what they call miscegenation, excuse me, and or who was there was even marriages of blacks and whites, even though they were really illegal, and there was also relationships. And it used to be said in the South, even though they had this in the daytime, they spit and discriminated against blacks. Teenage boys were often told, "The first sex you should have is with a black woman, or a black girl, teach you about sex. And I've heard this from other Southerners that I knew, in school and all of that. So it's curious about our relationships. And then the whole thing about having black blood during World War II, and I mentioned this about Dr. Drew, that blood drawn from black, donated from blacks, could not be injected and used in the blood transfusion for whites. I mean, how do you tell the difference? And this is these crazy ideas. And, of course, the Nazis and then Margaret Sanger and some of these other eugenicists, all of this garbage, and then Jewish blood. It's really ridiculous when you get right down to it. And we have we have Michael Caine, who married a black woman, good looking. I think she's Bahamian. Anyway, when he was in acting school and was poor, he used to say, "I would once a week I would go to a good restaurant and enjoy a fine bottle of wine." So I'd appreciate this when I became successful, and he's been very successful with a lot of his movies, and there have been some very good ones. Quincy Jones, he's more of a composer, musician. He was born today. And then William Jefferson, not Jefferson from Virginia, but this is the corrupt black politician, U.S. representative from Louisiana, who was caught with all of that money in his refrigerator or freezer. Talk about cold cash. He gave new meaning to cold cash. And he, I understand, has been convicted. And then of the deaths today, the inventor of Kodak, George Eastman, died today. Susan Hayward, a great actor, probably best known for the film I'll Cry Tomorrow, which is about Lillian Roth and her alcoholism. And then this is out of the Depression. Busby Berkeley did all of these escapism, great dance choreography numbers. And we'll get into that with Edward Everett Horton, who is the uncle, or was, he's dead, of Judge Isabella Grant Horton, who died this week. She is probably the most, or was the most important probate judge in the country because of her, presided over the probate of the late non-lamented Juan Jorge Pifray, who, this was censored and suppressed in the press, whose family bank, the Bank de Provincia of the Ciudad of Buenos Aires, was the bank's suspected. It's the oldest bank dating back to 1822, the oldest bank in Argentina, and it's suspected of holding assets stolen by the Nazis from Europeans during World War II. And this is another myth that only Jews were ripped off by the Nazis. And not every country the Nazis were in, they stole art, they ripped stuff off from the aristocrats, jewelry, cash, gold, of course, in the concentration camps when they gassed the people who had gold in their teeth, and the Jews, and there were other people as well. Clothing and a lot of and gold, all this stuff was turned into cash and was shipped out of Nazi Germany, and some of it, they claim, the gold, was put in crates and dumped in Swiss Lake, a lake, I think, in Switzerland or in Germany. But anyway, she's important. We'll get into her later. But Edward Everett Horton, now here's another connection. He was the fop in the Ginger Roger Fred Astaire movies. Now, Fred Astaire's sister, Adele Astaire, married the grandson of Lord Cavendish. Lord Cavendish, in the late 1800s, early 19th century, was a peace envoy sent by, I think, Prime Minister Gladstone to try to broker peace in Ireland, because the British were very brutal. Anyway, he was assassinated by the grandfather of Terence Hallinan, who was the district attorney of San Francisco, in the Kangaroo Court case, where there were forged documents, fabricated evidence, Eighth Amendment violations, all kinds of violations of Stephen Neri. This is the month that it happened in 1996, and we'll get into that more. And there's a video, a documentary coming out on that. We've been working on that. But it's just, this is one of the interesting connections. And, of course, Everett Horton was the fop. He was believed to be gay, and he sounds it in this clip we're going to play comes out of our archives. We'll play that in a minute. Also, Empress Zita, the last empress of Austria-Hungary, she died today. After Franz Joseph died, he was the oldest reigning monarch in modern times. I think it was like 45 years. He died in the middle of World War I. His successor was Emperor Karl, I believe, and his wife was named Vita. And there's still claims of there's some Habsburgs still living, Otto Habsburg. I think he's made a claim to try to revive the Austrian throne. Now, Austria-Hungary was known as the dual monarchy, and then, of course, the Rokoki March was a lot of the very Germanic Magyar tradition with that country. And when the Vienna was supposed to be the capital, and when a emperor was crowned, he was crowned in both Vienna and then in Budapest. Let's see, who else was born today? And then also today, of the events, Massachusetts Bay Colony got its charter. Some people think that was a mistake. And then the Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin, which eventually destroyed the slavery. That slavery was not economically viable, and then, you know, the South realized that, and so this was industrialization, and this hastened the end of slavery in the United States. Then in San Francisco, one of the most beautiful parks in the country, Golden Gate Park, was created today. In 1900, we're going back full circle because people are being encouraged to get gold because the claims that the dollar may be crashing. The United States went on the gold standard. And then in 1913, Rockefeller Foundation was set up. $100 million was donated to it or given to it by John Rockefeller Sr. And then Harding, in 1923, was the first U.S. president to file income tax and to pay income tax. Isn't that interesting? His administration was one of the most corrupt of all times in American history. Then in 1936, during the Roosevelt administration, the first publication of the Federal Register, which lists all the federal laws and congressional actions, that was first published then, still being published. In 1953, Nikita Khrushchev replaced Gregory Malenkov after Stalin's death, and he became chairman of the party, and he eventually came to San Francisco, and we have that video where he was insulted in the United States, and Mayor George Christopher, California's probably greatest modern mayor, told President Eisenhower to send him, to invite him to San Francisco, and we'll show them a good time, and it's a hell of a video, and we have it here, and then also the audio. And then we have, let's see, who else? Oh, yes, Jack Ruby, who's from Chicago. He was a pimp of sorts, nightclub sleaze. He shot one of the most famous videos of an assassination or a murder live. Was that of Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald, who died a few days later. There's a lot of mystery about this was a mafia. They wanted to silence Ruby, but we don't know. Anyway, I'll play that clip of Edward Horton, and it's interesting because of all the connections. And they're relative today. Well, where is Edward? Here we come.
Never mind. It's so incomprehensible. It doesn't seem quite sensible. And yet I like it. Please, let it not be. It's almost quite reliable. And yet it's quite enjoyable. Ooh, I'm full of rhapsody. Too many people here. Ripping, skipping, lightly bounding.
Stop it.
Really? This is most astounding.
It makes one feel so thrillable.
Well, it exhausted every syllable.
I crave frivolity.
And that one, let's start
thank you.
Yeah, it's the film is quite campy. Now we'll get into Japan. Japan is still largely a Buddhist nation, although Prime Minister before this one was a Roman Catholic. I don't know if he practiced, but it was unusual. Anyway, as I understand Buddhism, and some of my family has converted from Roman Catholicism and Judaism, there's a thing called karma. And as I understand history, and I did cover Iris Chang, the late Iris Chang, American woman of Chinese ethnicity, who wrote, talked about and wrote a book on the rape of Nanking, China, where in the 30s, when Japan invaded China, Nanking was the capital, and the Japanese army went on a rampage. And there is a movie that documents this, where they just raped, slaughtered, mutilated the population. And this is recent, came out, that some of the Japanese soldiers raped young boys. This is unusual, but it did happen. Anyway, in Buddhism, there's a thing called karma. And the Japanese have a horrible record, even in the Russo-Japanese War, and we'll get into that and its connection to San Francisco, and we'll be bringing it up because the Russian ship that was here, the Vareg, was here last June, and there's a connection to San Francisco and in the Russo-Japanese War and Jack London. It's quite interesting. I like to make these connections. But anyway, we were warned, and Jack London warned how the brutality, and he documented the brutality of the Japanese army and Japanese military toward POWs, and he saw how they treated the Russians who were POWs in the Russo-Japanese War in 1905. And the reason it ended was Teddy Roosevelt had this curious racism. He used to refer to the Chinese as the GD, or G-damned, dirty Chinese, and the plucky little Japs. But because he was a racist, and he did some horrible racist things with our military, the Brownsville Massacre, that's another story we'll get into. But anyway, he couldn't stand to see a white nation, Russia, being kicked around and defeated by a dark race. And so he brokered the Portsmouth Conference to end the Russo-Japanese War, in which he got a Nobel Prize. I mean, look, Mr. O got one, and nobody knows what he did to deserve it, and you haven't heard anything about it since. But anyway, Japan did some horrible things in Manchuria. One of the things at this conference at Stanford, and I have the tape that I did, I got to find it, was that there was a unit, medical unit, a guy called Dr. Major Ishii, who was, in effect, the Mengele of the Japanese Tojo's regime. And he set up this medical experiment place in Manchuria, Mukden, and he did these horrible, him and his staff did these horrible, without using anesthesia, and they should have done it anyway, experiments were totally useless on Allied prisoners of war, some Americans, a lot of Manchurians and Chinese, and all both genders. We don't know, and probably some young ones involved, and they injected them with all kinds of disease. Anthrax was one of their favorites. And after the war, after the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, Ishii had the records. He took some records for insurance, like the German rocket scientists who wanted to be captured by the Americans and turn over their rocket science findings and scientific information to the Americans rather than to the Russians. Well, Ishii wanted to do the same thing and did. And this germ warfare that he was involved in was given to the Americans. And apparently he was not prosecuted by General MacArthur. After he did that, he started a thing called Green Cross. The Green Cross set up these plasma banks in the United States in poor neighborhoods where for $10 a poor person, poor male or female, could donate blood and have their plasma. It took about an hour, and they got $10 for it. He did not institute protocols for checking to see if these people didn't have a communicable disease like AIDS. And this is what happened, that this blood, this is one of how the AIDS epidemic, one of the reasons one of the ways it spread was this plasma that was taken from people all around the country. They didn't check the people to see if they were free of communicable disease like AIDS or tuberculosis or hepatitis. And so it eventually Green Cross went out of business, and Ishii died, I guess, comfortably in bed, but maybe he's in hell where he belongs. But and then there was the Comfort Women, where Korean women were used as prostitutes by the Japanese Army. There were other women as well. And then it was also not talked about the rape of women in Manila when MacArthur had invaded, when he returned as he said he would. All along, Japan has refused to apologize for these atrocities, and he will not pay or have not paid reparations to the Chinese for the horrible things they did there, to the Manchus, and to the Filipinos, and to the Koreans. So some people think that this earthquake and this horrible tsunami, and it is horrible, we're not gloating about it, but we're repeating history, may be Japan's karma. So think about that one. And then Judge Isabella Grant Horton is important because she presided over the Petre probate. Now, it's interesting, both the New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle, both Jewish news founded by Jews, Jewish heritage, had placed ads talking about Holocaust assets. I think it's rather timely because these ads came sandwiched between just before Judge Horton died and after she died, and we'll get into that later because, as I said earlier, Petre's family bank, Banque Provincia of the province of Buenos Aires, is suspected of receiving some of those stolen assets. And remember that after World War II, the Nazis escaped. Unfortunately, the Vatican was involved. They escaped through Naples. Where do they come? To South America, through Buenos Aires, and then to Paraguay, Mengele, a lot of these guys, Barbie, escaped. And during World War II, Juan Perón supported the Nazis. He was one of the only countries in South America that did this. So it fits. So we'll end, and we'll be back Wednesday with more, and then on Friday with the best of, and then we have some more audio archival interviews that we did that are relevant, and we'll play those. And so we'll end with our usual where is politics and poker, which is now it's not, it's politics and cocaine.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
Well, good night, people. This is Peter Paul Brazola. See you Wednesday.